Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
9:06, it's Lance and Dell. Only have Dell for a couple more days. They'll be with me today and tomorrow. Of course, I'll see him all the time because I'll be up here doing football stuff, draft stuff eventually here in the next few months. And he'll be on with Jeremy Branham, and he'll be with the Killer Bee Show. And you got to – did you tell people you're doing a show, or am I allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, we talked about it. Starting September 4th, there will be a college football show featuring me, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say the other person quite yet. Not sure how that all that stuff works, but there'll be another person alongside. And it'll be something you can hear on nationally on SportsMap, but there will be some – opportunities where you're going to be able to hear it on 97.5 as well. It just depends on whether the Aggies are playing a night game or not, because the show will be from it appears to be from 5 to 8. So I think I talked to some people here and they want to have it on simulcast, so we'll see. So the hope is the Aggies stink so they have all noon games so they don't preempt me. Is that what I'm supposed to hope for as being part of the Aggie station?
The Aggies are gonna be pretty good
or really good, and they play at 2:30 all the time.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the new quarterback situation works out. But it used to be, you replace a long-term quarterback. When we're talking about a four-year starter with Kellen Mond, you replace that, you're not going to be good in football. That used to be the thing. And then, obviously, Oklahoma broke that mold. Alabama, there's been lots of teams who have... Ohio State, seemingly on a regular basis. So you can win right away with a young quarterback. You can win right away with a new quarterback if your other pieces are in place. A&M, though, they lost, let's see, 1, 2, 3. They lost 4 of their 5 offensive linemen who were Joe Moore Award finalists for top offensive line of the year. They lost 4 of their 5 starters. They have 1 starter back on the offensive line. And I know they have Isaiah Spiller. They have a couple of really good running backs. But the thing that concerns me with the Aggies is brand new quarterback, 4 brand new offensive linemen. That is a little bit of a concern.
It will certainly test or point out how good the recruiting has been since Jimbo's been there in terms of that offensive line and the development of those guys. You're going to lean on Spiller and A-Chain and also getting the ball to Anaya Smith either in the backfield or split him out in the slot, things like that. And Jimbo's system has been one of those considered the more difficult to learn, one where you need more experience, although unless you're a legend, at least a college legend like Jameis did, he took a redshirt and was just fine coming out of that redshirt year. But Jimbo, he has changed some things, but it hasn't always been the most quarterback-friendly in terms of guys who – enter the program early and just playing right away. So we'll see. Haynes King has been there for, I think he's a redshirt freshman. Don't think he played enough games last year to qualify, and Calzada's a little older. So we'll see how that goes. But I think you're just going to be seeing a lot of Spiller and A-Chain until the quarterback situation is figured out.
So, you know, here's something I want to get into that we haven't talked a whole lot about as far as the Houston Texans are concerned. I am legitimately curious from a team building standpoint. You and I have kind of joked around, but also been serious about the Rockets have a situation now where I look at it one way, where the Rockets have a chance to finally build around some young players and get these players at a low cost and build something organic and fun around a young group as they hit reset on what has been a long run with James Harden. It was a relatively successful run too. And you have the Astros that we saw. We know what they did. They, you know, I don't want to say went into tank mode. I think they were legitimately just bad. And they got their draft picks. They did well with their draft picks. They built it up. We know they've had a good sustained run since 2015 that netted them 1 World Series and damn near a second one. As we get into the Houston Texans, they have now given away their top players for a song. I mean, did not get value. You got nothing for J.J. Watt. We know that you got basically Brandon Cooks for DeAndre Hopkins. Deshaun Watson will find out what they're going to get. That's the last remaining piece, and I'm really interested to see what are you going to get from Deshaun Watson when you finally trade him. But their build-out, while we can have disagreements or talk about the Rockets' build-out as it pertains to what they're going to do on their next iteration, the Texans' next iteration, I don't even think we're to that point yet because they didn't have a first or second round pick. And so I think for me, the most exciting thing this year is going to be talk about Deshaun Watson, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm interested to see what the team's going to do. I just think they're going to be really bad. I do think Philip Lindsay could be a guy who becomes a Texan in the future beyond this year. He could sign a multi-year deal and become a talented running back for them over the next few years. I'm very interested in Nico Collins, the wide receiver. But I think what's going to be most interesting to me from a team-building standpoint is probably not going to be all the stuff that's happening on the field. It's going to be the eventual trade of Deshaun Watson and what you end up doing once you get your first-round picks. We know that the Rockets, because we know that football can be built, you can build back football very, very quickly. In basketball, you have to get a star. You have to get a star player, and then you have to build talent around them. In football, a bunch of draft picks, if you do well, you can build back fairly quickly if that happens. And the Texans are going to be in that. Now, your Dolphin team was handed two more first-round picks for one of the players they already had in Laremy Tunsil. So that's the thing that's going to be missing here is you're going to get the first-round picks for moving. Because you also moved Minkah Fitzpatrick was another one that brought back a first-rounder.
Yeah.
Like, what, two trades brought back three first-round picks.
And they've used the capital they got from Laremy Tunsil to acquire additional first-round picks. They gave one back to trade up to get Jaylen Waddle. But, yeah, they've continued to make hay with that initial trade of Laremy Tunsil. The Texans could do something similar, and they'll get more first round. Let's say they get the combination of the Minkah and the Tunsil trade initially got the Dolphins three first round picks and a second. And when you throw in the Kenny Stills,
I think that's possible.
Do you
think
three first and 2 seconds would get it done for you?
Oh, 100%. I don't think it's. I'm not sure anyone will give you three first and 2 seconds. I think they'll try to offer two first and 2 seconds. If I'm the Texans, I try to hold the three first and a second is what I would do. That would be in the neighborhood of what I would be asking for. And then it wouldn't be beyond me to flip one of those first backwards. I mean, at some point, the Texans need to start the process of trading backwards. I don't know what Nick Caserio did this year. This trading forward stuff and giving away picks was so unpatriot-like, I couldn't even begin to wrap my mind around that. I really felt like the accumulation of picks was going to be what the Texans would go for, and they did the opposite. At some point, and I hope some point soon, they start to move their first round picks backwards and pick up additional picks, because that gives them the best chance to me to really start the process of a legitimate rebuild and build out of something brand new. Because it's going to have to, if Nick Caserio wants to put a stamp on it, we're going to start seeing some of it this year. But what he's doing now is building a way to practice. And these are the things that get people, you know, I know it's passe and people, it's practice. You shouldn't make these players practice. It's mean and it's hurtful and it's terrifying. Just give them a giant sack of cash and never make them practice ever. Okay, that sounds great. Or build a culture where people are in it together and are coming together for, you know, common good. And you have a bunch of one-year guys. You have a bunch of gypsies and vagabonds and travelers. This is a team full of travelers.
Gypsies is a derogatory.
They're here for 1 year.
Yeah, you can't say that, Lance.
It's a derogatory term.
They're here for 1 year.
No, you can't
say that. A team full of gypsies.
You can't call people gypsies.
You can't say that either, Dell.
In a way, you can.
I didn't call anyone. I'm not doing that. I'm just not going to call anyone.
G-word?
I'm not saying the G-word.
It's a team full of travelers.
Times.
That's the common.
Travelers.
This is the new word. It's the word they've been used for a few years.
Because when you say gypsy...
You can't say that, Dell.
I just said it. It's derogatory, so you don't call people that. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, Aaron Reese.
What if they play bad? If they play good, are they travelers? And if they play bad, they're
no,
like, oh, Tyrod Taylor threw this gypsy through another three interceptions.
No.
You can't do it like that.
No, you can't use
But if you play stop. Well, you're you like, oh, this Philip Lindsay traveler is a,
you can't
he's
use
a heck of a traveler.
As Trey says, the G word, I'm only using it so he doesn't keep interjecting with please stop. I would just say gypsy. The pejorative... You can't use that as a pejorative to talk about Tyrod Taylor's day. Oh, the gypsy threw three picks. You can't do that. That's wrong. Aaron Reese, is tweeting, Deshaun Watson just walked by reporters on his way to practice and said, "Why are y'all always filming me? It's the same S." My response would have been, "Why'd you go get so many massages? It's the same S." but Deshaun is apparently the filming of him is tiresome in his eyes as well.
Yeah. I just threw back on the Gypsy Traveler thing.
Okay. You can't say it. You can't say it.
Yeah, you can say it. It's just not right to call someone.
I think it's time that we shut down camp. We shouldn't have to keep talking about Deshaun Watson. I'm right here, Tyrod Taylor. I'm here for you. I am your traveler quarterback.
No one wants
to get your caravans out of here, you 1 year players.
No,
get your traveling 1 year caravans and your bare knuckle fighting out of here.
Are they the worst people? These caravans.
Get your caravan out of here. You're the worst.
Caravans are the worst people are trying to cross into Camp Casario.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're just like, oh, what do we have here?
Another
team full of Sam Munson.
You can grab your hat, and if there's a razor blade in it, and you just cut it. Right there.
Did you just watch an episode
Mark Ingram?
Did you just watch Peaky Blinders? Is that what you're doing?
No, I saw it previously. Okay. And those are travelers that they clicked up with, but then they found out.
Don't mess with travelers.
You don't mess with travelers.
No.
You're never going to be friends with the travelers. You don't trust.
They're
and that's why I don't trust the Texans. They got a team full of travelers. A bunch of 1 year, I'll say it, Jerry, gypsies.
You can't say it, Lance.
A bunch of gypsies who are coming in here for 1 year. They're taking our jobs.
Whose jobs?
I'm still watching Warrior. Oh. They're taking good Irish people's jobs.
Okay.
And they're taking my job. Why, we need to get some good Irishmen back in there at wide receiver.
But the Irishmen don't want to work for you because the wages aren't great and the environment sucks.
Well, we can't have all these Chinese people playing wide receiver.
Oh, now you're getting, now you're really toeing the line.
I'm taking all of Warrior.
You have
the show from HBO Max.
The problem for this
and
is
you're mixing it in with some.
You have
blinders.
To have, give people context because if you just say these, we can't allow these Chinese
players. I know
players,
that. Yeah, I know that's
an issue for you.
Did you hear what Lance said?
Yeah.
About Chinese receivers? Listen,
they don't
watch Warrior. There's a whole Irish and Chinese thing going on in Warrior season 2.
Yeah.
So just watch that now, or watch Peaky Blinders. Or watch Snatch. Actually, you need to watch all three of those to be completely in on what I'm talking
about. In this
about.
Scenario, you're just being a loud duck right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I am being a bit of a duck.
Yeah.
But I do think they're taking our jobs. These travelers are coming here. Shaq Lawson comes in with his 1 year contract, taking the jobs of a common man like Jonathan Greenard. He's from here. He's from the Texans. I came to this country a long time ago. Well, last year's draft to build for me and my family, and you bring in Shaq Lawson. You see, these gypsies keep saying, brother.
Shaq Lawson was traded for. He was imported in. Is what you're saying? They brought him in.
Yeah, they brought Shaq in. They signed a 1 year contract. So Terrence Mitchell and all these. I think Terrence Mitchell is a 1 year guy.
He might be a
2 year. Most of the guys are 1 year guys. So
you know who else is from here?
Who?
Pete. From Pete's Fine Meats.
Ooh,
Michael is. Actually, he's not even from here. Went to Lamar Consolidated. LCHS, homie.
And his,
he's
and
one of my homies.
And his nephew
Cody
is going to live with me.
Yeah, okay. Your body, your choice.
You have a,
I'm just going to say
what
this.
What it means, all right?
What?
It might be what
that's
it means.
Not
I don't
what
know
it
what it means. Trey, you're on your journey. I don't.
It's
you know what? And
be
I support
more,
you on your
it's
journey.
It's gonna be a bunch of people who live at my house, and he's gonna be one of them.
You're just gonna have a commune.
Oh, you're gonna have a caravan.
You have a commune at your house now.
You guys need to get with the times. All right.
What times? I just asked you if you.
Y'all are saying the G word.
For bleep's sake, I don't even know what you're doing here. What you and Cody do, I don't.
It's not
I'm,
what
I'm
we're
going
doing.
To support you, Trey.
It's not what we're
I don't,
doing.
I'm
going to
support you
any
way it goes.
With that.
Okay. You know, one of the ways I'm going to support you, I'm probably going to send a nice gift package from Pete's Fine Meats. That's what I'll do because that's what I'm all about. Going in there and I say, okay, here's what we're going to do. Michael, I will get my order. And you can even order on the phone. You can say, okay, we want strip steaks. I want them, you know, an inch and a half thick. I want a thick cut strip steak or maybe yours. I love their strip steaks. Well marbled. So good. I've also done the bone-in tomahawk for my boy Snacks' birthday. He wanted a steak, and I got a tomahawk from Pete's Fine Meats. They have the very best selection of steaks. They'll cut it for you right there in front of you. They vacuum seal it. They'll do briskets, trim the brisket up right there in front of you. They can even season it for you, pre-season it. If you're not somebody who has your own seasoning, your own rub, they can season it for you, vacuum seal it up. They have chicken. They have shrimp. They have a great deli area where they make burgers and sandwiches and so much more. And the bottom line is, it just, it's the top butcher you're going to find in the city of Houston. Yes, you can still get cuts of meat that you're looking for with the thickness of the steaks and so much more. The Tri-Blend Burgers, if you're just looking for burgers, you will not find a better burger than his Tri-Blend Burger. Tell them the burgers that John and Lance gets, tell them that you want that sometime. Come in there and get those. He'll vacuum seal that up for you, and you can cook it for you and your family or your friends at your own little barbecue at your house. Pete's Fine Meats. I've been going there for 2 decades. That's where I get my beef tenderloin every single year for Christmas. It is a can't-miss butcher shop with great people, including Michael Cruz, who runs the shop. Pete's Fine Meats at Richmond and Chimney Rock. It's Pete's Fine Meats.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
A new era is about to begin.
Change is coming.
Monday, August 16th, we're writing the next chapter in Houston sports radio history. Change
coming. This is what you call a paradigm shift.
New voices, new shows. Be there Monday, August 16th for this new chapter on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You best be ready.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, it's 9:24. Thanks for joining us on The Bench today. If you've missed any of it, you can go back to ESPN975.com and listen on the podcast. Rafael Stone is going to join us in a little over an hour. We're going to talk about the Rockets, what they're doing. They're well, basically, Jalen Green and Şengün in the Alperen Şengün, their second pick of the first round. Remember, they had 4 first-round picks, including Josh Christopher, who's actually played very well in the Summer League as well. You can't get overly excited about Summer League action. I get that. But in the case of their first 2 picks, I do think it's something for Rockets fans to be excited about. It's been a long time since we've had a draft pick to be excited about. The closest you could come was Clint Capela. And that was, you know, that was just a modest amount of excitement over Clint Capela since James Harden was a star. Star on this team? Ain't going to be Kevin Porter Jr. And how Porter Jr. responds to Jalen Green and how Christian Wood responds to the Jalen Green phenomenon, because that's what's going to happen. This is going to be a phenomenon for the franchise, I think, Dell. How they respond to the new kid on the block getting all the attention. He's going to get a lot of attention on ESPN. He's going to get a lot of attention on maybe not TNT, because I don't think they'll be seeing too many Rocket games there, but he's going to be the talk of the league. He's going to be one of the top 3 candidates. He already is behind Cade Cunningham. I saw the Rookie of the Year odds. I think he's going to be, to me, he would be the favorite, because I think there's a better chance that he will be more explosive than Cade Cunningham. I don't know if he'll be the better pro, but I think for what the Rockets need, I like what he's going to do for the Rockets. And I'm so glad they didn't draft Evan Mobley. Oh,
why?
So glad they didn't draft. What's that guy called? The real tall, skinny one, do they call him? The thin man, or no, what's it called?
Manute Bol?
The slender man?
Slender man. That's it. I'm so glad they didn't draft Slender Man. The mythical big man who supposedly can make threes and block shots at 140 pounds. I'm glad they didn't draft Slender Man.
You know, he will put on weight. The projection is
that's
the
what
Evan
I said
Mobley
about Tayshaun Prince. I remember.
Well, he was a wing, not a big, 6'9" or so. Clint Capela put on weight.
He did. He had the frame for it. I honestly, legitimately don't know that Evan Mobley has that frame. Some guys have the bone density to do it, and some don't. I don't know if Mobley's that guy, but we'll find out. He's not a Rocket, so I don't care. But tell your friends and family members, call your mom, call Trey's mom, and tell her.
Don't call her.
That Rafael Stone is going to join us at 10:30. We're going to talk some Rockets.
Tune in at 10:30 as Lance begs Rafael Stone for the 8-year rebuild.
Yeah. No. 3-year. All you need is 3.
Oh, sure.
All you need is 3.
That's how the NBA works.
So,
22-year-olds.
Speaking of rebuilds,
win titles.
I kind of thought about this. You know, Carlos Correa is his OPS is 840. That's good, or close to 840. You're seeing George starting to go. George Springer starting to play really well after a slow start, and good for George. I don't want George to play to play poorly. I do want Gerrit Cole to play poorly, and I'm unapologetic. And I think I kind of had something to do with him playing poorly. You can't. If you put something out there in the world enough, I think that's called the wish or whatever.
You're manifesting?
Yeah, I'm manifesting his poor play. I have personally manifested it. So you're welcome.
You seem to be maybe gleeful.
Except when he dominated the
Maybe
Astros.
Gleeful isn't the right word. No, but you seem...
I'm joyful about
okay,
his
you seem
struggles.
To enjoy lack his lack of availability yep. and his struggles.
Yep.
As if he did Love something it. Personally to you.
Love it.
Was yep. it because he put on the hat?
Yep, it's right, because he put on his agency hat just to troll them right after losing a World Series, and he's got his agency hat on. That's right, Trey. I'm glad you remember that. Right off the bat, he's going Team Scott Boras, if I remember correctly. Right off the bat in the middle of the World Series. I don't pitch for the Astros. That's not my team. Well, we're on your side. They should have put you in a game. I was mad at AJ, too. Don't start pulling this crap. So, you know what? Beat it. You want more money? Beat it. Stay here if you want a hometown discount and a chance to win a championship. That's what, Carlos, you can expect that too. Take that home count discount. Would you do anything like if you know, like, do you give a player like Carlos Correa $30 million?
These deals have never worked out.
They never work out, and he's not a guy who's ever earned it from a hitting standpoint.
He is
he doesn't hit like a $30 million.
Like he made another.
Except Lindor gets that much money.
And that will probably be Carlos' argument. Although he will have to prove that he can make it through a year, Lindor. Had done that previously. I know the Astros are in a rough position. It'd be a third year in a row where you lose a giant free agent with George and Gerrit Cole the previous year, George Springer and Gerrit Cole the previous year. But is he a $30 million player? I don't believe so. But what do you can you let another guy go? Can you let this guy go? Is what the Rockets, the Astros are going to have to contemplate. He's very important. He was the jewel of your minor league system for a little bit because he didn't spend that much time there. But when you lose one staple in Springer, you'd like, and Altuve's obviously locked in for probably his career here. Can you in the core feels like it should be Yordan, Altuve, Bregman, and Correa. Can you lose another core member of that lineup?
I really have that same question. I think, you know, it's easy to say yes if you feel like Kyle Tucker is going to be a 30 home run or a 25 to 30 home run guy and a full-time consistent player, it's easier because you can say, okay, Yordan, you know Yuli's going to be gone relatively soon, I'd say. So you say, okay, Yordan, Bregman, but right now it's just tricky because Bregman's going to be out for more than 2 months. And you got Yordan, you got Kyle Tucker, Altuve's getting older. You know, I looked at Altuve's numbers. His numbers over the last really 19, 20, and now 21, he's just not hitting the same. He's just not the same hitter. He's still good, and last year was an unusually bad year for him, but it's just he's not the same 200 hits per season guy. I mean, the numbers just aren't there like they were before. So I'm kind of wondering if we're starting to see the decline of Jose Altuve a little bit. I definitely wouldn't say he's in his prime right now. I think he's probably on the backside. He's been an Astro for a long time, so there's no shame in that, certainly. But that's what makes me, I'm kind of the same way. Like, if you had done a deal earlier with Carlos Correa, you would probably have him right. I mean, obviously you'd have him if you did a deal, but if you'd been more aggressive right up front, but you would have to be given a money that you'd feel like he hadn't earned. It'd be the same question about, can he stay healthy? It'd be the same questions that people had previously, but without him, I could still envision, you know, what the Astros might argue is, well, we can't afford to make some of the moves we'll need to make if we sign him to that amount of money. And we don't want to create a new standard for Yordan and everyone else coming up, that this is what you ask for, a long-term high-dollar thing where maybe you don't, because you'd basically have to admit he's getting more money than most guys who hit like he does.
I think, well, that's all reasonable. I don't think a team, at least a fan base who has seen their team become a championship contender every year, wants to hear about your financial, the financial implications of signing them. They're going to say, are we supposed to be one of the best teams in baseball? Yes. Do the best teams in baseball spend money? Yes. Let's spend the money. Unless you're telling us that we no longer want to compete at that level. That's not a really a reasonable thing when you talk about what a contract like that means for the player's production going forward and how it kind of straps you. But you know what Angel fans, what Astro fans could say, did it stop the Angels from getting Rendon when they had Pujols still in the books, even though that was coming off,
right,
paying Mike Trout? And that team stinks.
But they haven't. Well, the way they've done it hasn't been the way you want to do it.
You don't, but. The Astros have decided, maybe George was on his way out no matter what. No to Springer, no to Cole, or maybe Cole. Look, these are things we don't know. Was Cole going to leave no matter what? If the Astros had matched that giant offer, would he have stayed?
I think he was leaving no matter what.
Okay. And Springer, there was some concern that could have been an issue,
John
too.
John was upset they didn't offer him earlier, but I think he talked to somebody who basically acknowledged Cole was going to test free agency no matter
what. So there's a question of whether any money could have kept some of those guys. It feels like Correa is the guy who, as long as he finds the offer competitive, would stay. Are the Astros going to make a competitive offer? And if not, that's going to piss people off. Because this is a guy who has expressed an interest in being here and has done everything to show that he is Houston through and through, from being the spokesperson through last year and the Cody Bellinger stuff. Anytime anyone has something to say, Carlos is right there to say, watch your mouth. That this is your guy.
I know. He's the guy that has a lot of the heartbeat for the Houston Astros rests in the chest of Carlos Correa, and to lose him. But at the same time, if you're running this like some kind of hedge fund and you want a chance to have the best performance possible for the hedge fund, do you take on, I would say, a contract that Carlos is looking for is going to be a high risk mid-yield? I'm not sure that I could say high yield based on his history. I think a high-risk, mid-yield contract, is that something a great hedge fund manager would do? Probably not. And the reason I bring that hedge fund analogy up is because I think that's probably how a lot of analytics guys are going to look at this around baseball, is we're trying to make moves that keep us competitive for the long term, and that is a move that takes on too much risk. I think they're going to be risk-averse as much as possible.
Look, you're looking at what happened in NBA free agency. Chris Paul will be making what he's making at 40. Steph Curry's going to be making nearly $60 million at 36. Jimmy Butler will be making about 50. NBA teams know in the last 2 years of that deal, probably he's not going to be worth it. But we can't risk pissing off our guy. And now one player is far more important in an NBA roster, on an NBA roster, than it is in baseball. But maybe the Astros are in that same position. We get it. Down the line, we're going to hate this deal, but we can't lose him. And I wonder what their approach would be. So far, it seemed like, we can lose him.
I don't think it's going to change. They let Keuchel go. They let Charlie Morton was a move they could have made. They let Charlie Morton go. They've let Keuchel, and certainly understood. But they let guys walk. And I think ultimately that's probably the smart move, but it's going to be the painful move when and if Carlos Correa walks. But guess what? Pedro Leon was moved to shortstop for a reason, to be the next.
This will be the tougher one to swallow for everyone involved.
Gerrit Cole
was not a mercenary, but you traded for him. He wasn't your dude. George was at least older, and you can say, okay, he's 30-plus years old. We kind of get, even though it sucks. You let a mid-20-year-old guy go,
it'll be tougher. Yeah, it's definitely going to be tougher. Let's break it right here. And when we come back, don't you have audio of Skip?
We have a couple audios.
Getting served?
Yeah, we got a couple things we need to get to. We need to get the Skip versus Jenny Taft, and we also have the audio of the tweet I mentioned of Deshaun not being thrilled with being filmed. We'll get to both at some point.
9:37 here on the bench.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What am I listening to there, Dell?
Well, you're listening to Pressure. You listen to a song.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? Pull the audio down. Let's play it again. Tell us. I'm sorry. Pull the music down, Trey. Now tell us what we're going to be listening to in advance.
This is Deshaun Watson. He was being filmed, and he didn't like it. So here it is again.
It's him walking. At training camp, walking to practice. Camp.
Why y'all always filming me every day? It's the same.
And that was it. Why y'all always filming me every day? It's the same S.
Friendly Deshaun is slowly dying.
I don't. Was Friendly Deshaun ever a real thing?
Yeah, Friendly Deshaun was a thing.
Depending
Smiling
on who you were.
Smiling Deshaun.
It depends on who you are.
Yeah.
Like everyone. Not everyone's nice to everyone.
Hot girl privilege. Well, that was introduced to the show by Tony earlier about hot girl privilege. How did he bring it up? What was that? Oh, that Nick Caserio thinks he's still
a patriot.
It's like the patriot thing, that hot girl privilege where hot girls, they think that life is a certain way because they get treated a certain way. They get all the advantages. And Nick Caserio doesn't realize he doesn't get hot girl privilege anymore now that he's been...
Yeah.
Mangled and disfigured in a horrible wreck that is the Texans.
But
that's what Tony said earlier.
Well, yeah, he was a New England 8. Now he's a Houston 3.
You don't think he was a... Yeah, that's true. You don't think he was Deshaun? I think Deshaun had a public image. I'm not going to reinvent Deshaun as
money,
being a guy who was a fraudulent guy who was running around just because he didn't talk to John at a bar here locally. John's like...
Some of his
John's
buddies.
Decided Deshaun is like a total... You know, and maybe, but well, I never saw it. I never heard stories like that. I never.
Yeah, you know, he gave money, his first check to the
people, yeah.
to the women who worked at the Texans facility. So
yeah.
There are certainly some moments where you look like he was endearing himself to the market and to the people. So there's that. I don't know what he's like personally. I just know what is written about him when he does things publicly. That's all. I don't know anything about him other than at a time he was a star quarterback. I just think if you are actually guilty of what he's being accused of, maybe how do you divorce those two? Like, oh, he's a nice guy, but he has also allegedly done this stuff.
See, I don't know why. Okay, a sexual proclivity, which I am going to.
I'm not talking about the proclivity. I'm talking about if he is guilty of. The stuff he's
because to say nah, I get what you're saying because.
Can you be a nice person if...
See, this is really a no-win for me to even discuss this, to be honest
understood.
With you. Well, not to try to rationalize it, because you really can't. And, you know, from what Deshaun has said, he had consensual sex. Some of those moments became consensual sexual acts. Obviously, he tried to make, allegedly, tried to make a lot of those moments consensual sexual acts, but clearly crossed the line, allegedly, according to the lawsuits. So, yeah, once you introduce that, I still think that you could still be the guy who wants to take care of the woman in
sure.
the, you know, with your paycheck. I think you can still be the guy who cares about the kids with all your, you know. Let me say this, though. I think there is a chance money can change people. Fame can change people. Access can change people. You know, I saw the pictures of Deshaun and everyone pulling up in like Lamborghinis and Bugattas and stuff like that at a charity event. And I don't know if it was part of the event to kind of show out these vehicles or what the case was, but people made a point that this is not the look that you want to have headed in. I know that I've heard stories about I've heard some stories from some people who have been involved with some business dealings with Deshaun's that it hasn't always been easy. especially maybe with the girlfriend or whatever. I think there is a chance that Deshaun, like many, many athletes, I saw it happen with Jose Lima to an extent. I mean, one of the most fan-friendly guys of all time, and was always a fan-friendly guy. But money and access and fame does change people very, very frequently. So maybe the Deshaun we're getting now is not the Deshaun that we saw 2-3 years ago. Maybe that's not the same guy. I just want to say, out of fairness to him, I've never heard stories about him being an a-hole to people. I've never. Now he may be a little more arrogant or this, that, or the other. I don't know. I'm not accusing him of that. I don't know. But I will say this. I just haven't heard bad stories about Deshaun Watson. I really haven't. But I think this Deshaun has already, in his mind, he's checked out of Houston. He's checked out of the Texans. I don't think you're going to get a friendly version of Deshaun Watson. I think you'll get a relatively cordial version. But Deshaun Watson wouldn't have said the same thing last year. Like, why y'all have the cameras on me? Get that off of y'all. Film the same stuff. What he's basically trying to say is, I'm not going to be a Houston Texan. I'm only here. You know why I'm here, and I know why I'm here. So why do y'all keep filming me? Nothing's going to change. I'm not playing. I'm just here to keep $50,000 a day in my pocket. So stop filming me. Nothing's changing.
We're filming you because we got a job to do. And you know what? Your appearance
and
means
I want
to
these
us.
Clicks on my Twitter page.
That's where I was going. You know what? What filming you does? Get us clicks. So you want your money? We want our money. That this is the game we're playing right now. Once you stop showing up, we'll stop filming you. Once the Texans decide they don't want you around, then we'll stop filming you. That's all it is.
It's that simple. It's 9:47, and it's time for me to tell you about Texas Custom Patios.
Didn't you combine the breaks because he was talking so much the last time?
I get to keep going, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Trey did the work for you.
Then I want to hear, good. Then I want to hear now Skip Bayless. So Skip Bayless is watching Hard Knocks. I mean, he just says the stupidest.
Yeah, he's watching Hard Knocks.
Everybody hates Skip Bayless.
But Skip already knows that. That's how he made all this money. He's been trolling since the 80s when he called Houston Cougar fans cockroaches who were invading Dallas.
Didn't he
As a writer, in the newspaper saying that in 1984.
He also said that Troy Aikman was gay.
Yeah.
He said a lot.
Troy
of
also basically said it's going to be on site if
whenever he sees him.
Yeah, on site for Skip Bayless.
So Troy doesn't
should be
around.
The name of his podcast.
He said a couple of things recently about guys saying stuff about him, but this one was in reference to Skip Bayless in reference to Mike McCarthy's weight. He didn't think much of him because of how big he is currently.
And so we have the audio of that.
We have the audio of Jenny Taft's response to this. Because,
okay, so he made a comment about. He thought that a head coach shouldn't weigh that much.
He wouldn't want a coach that looked like Mike McCarthy coaching him.
So forget the thing that he said, that stupid mojo moment. Forget the issues he's had with Aaron Rodgers and last year the Cowboys players were turning on him or stuff like that. And by the way, Mike McCarthy may be on the right on this stuff. There's some stuff I liked, kind of the down-homey type of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, blue-collar thing that I saw from him on Hard Knocks. I think that stuff still works. I didn't think he came off terrible as a leader of men yesterday in the Hard Knocks episode I saw, but I don't think he is a guy who's probably long for that organization. If they don't win 12 games this year and win that division, I could see him out, honestly.
So Shannon and Skip weren't impressed by his motivational stuff.
Okay.
And then it led to this. This is just a personal preference on my part. I'm not taking a shot at him about this, but he's a little heavy. I wouldn't want my head coach in the National Football League to not look the part at all, because you've got to stay in some semblance of condition to show that you know who you are. You have some confidence in yourself, right? And then Jenny Taft responded with this.
Well, I don't think that's a fair shot.
Is everyone
that's
who's a good coach as fit as you, Skip? I don't think that's a fair shot whatsoever.
I said it was a personal preference. I wouldn't want him to be my head coach.
That have not had the perfect ideal physique, including my college coach. Mm. So I don't think that's a fair shot.
Okay.
And I'm allowed to have an opinion, Skip. I am allowed to say whatever I want to say on this show,
Come on, guys.
Mr. Bizarre will join us and he will react to Westbrook's comment, and maybe I have more to say next.
Yes.
So that was the extent. The initial thing she said was criticizing his appearance. I don't know if I think that's a fair shot for Mike McCarthy. I'm going to leave it at that. And that's where we kicked off the audio. And I don't think it went much further than that afterwards. But the Twitter world was on Jenny Taft's side because, well, she's dealing with the villain. She no matter what she would have said, she was challenging Skip, so she was going to win.
He is the villain. He is definitely the villain, without question.
Everybody hates him.
Well, he wants, but that's but well, he figured out that the bad guy makes the money.
They hate him, but they watch him, so he's still winning.
Why is it on right now?
He honestly doesn't care if you like him or not. No, like some people, it totally crushes them if people don't like him. Skip wants you to not like him because there's more money in that. Look how polarizing Stephen A. Smith has become because he figured out, and he worked with Skip. That's where the money is.
Yeah.
Being polarizing is where the money is.
You know, there's from Breaking Bad, Walt on the phone, he goes, "I won." There's a meme of that. Skip, no matter what you say to him, he would say, "I won." He won.
Mm-hmm.
You hate him. You don't like him. For whatever reason, I don't even know who watches Undisputed. I've never met anyone who has said, "I watch it." Mainly because I don't talk to anyone, but
we're literally watching in studio
Trey
right now.
Turned the channel instead of going to ESPN with the FS1, so now it's on.
Y'all want to watch the other one?
It doesn't matter. They're the same one
right now.
They're the same.
It really doesn't matter. Honestly, we can't hear it anyway. It doesn't matter. But Skip won. He won at ESPN. He's winning at Fox Sports. He just signed a new deal. I think. Hate him, fine. If you really want to beat him, stop watching, which apparently isn't happening.
No, that apparently is not happening. What was I going to say? Oh, so the Astros are – I want to set up your Houston sports for the weekend. You have the Astros. They're off today. They just beat the Colorado Rockies. Love what Aledmys Diaz is doing right now. Chaz McCormick was hitless yesterday. Let me jump on Chaz McCormick for a second. So I was looking up his splits yesterday because McCormick has obviously played better as of late, and if you want to take a look at the splits, you can go all the way to when Straw was traded and McCormick started getting more at bats. But I went to his splits. Hold on a second, I'm pulling up right now. I went to the splits for Chaz McCormick, and I'll tell you what, right now his current numbers, he's hitting 251, which has come way up from where he was. He's hitting 251. He's got an OPS of 780, and you think, well, I mean, that's fine. It feels like his OPS was higher than that. He's got 11 home runs in 191 at bats. So over the course of a season, you're talking about the 30. You could project him to being a 30 home run guy over the course of a season. His rookie season, if you projected it out over the course of 600 at bats in that neighborhood, for example. But when you look at his splits, what he's done. In June, he hit about 250. In July, he hit about 250. In August right now, he is hitting over 300. He started the month hitting, you know what, I can go back to. He started the month at 233. Right now, he's hitting a 251. His OPS right now is 780, but he's having a big month in August. He's performed really, really well in general. And I'm looking at his – now, yesterday he was 0 for 4. But before that, 2 for 4, 2 for 5, 2 for 4, 1 for 5, 2 for 4. He had multi-hit games in four of his last five games before yesterday. He had two hits on August 1st as well. So he's had multi-hit games in five of the games this month. The departure of Straw, while some people were sad because Straw had kind of won them over with his everyman's play – The fact is, the league is built upon power, and it's built upon guys who can hit in the gaps and change the momentum of games with 2 and 3 run home runs, and that's what Chaz McCormick does. He's a more dangerous hitter. He's going to be a better major leaguer. I mean, he is.
The stats you're putting out there confirm what your drunken partner said quite a bit.
That lout.
Yeah, that drunken debaucherous lout. That as long, once you gave McCormick consistent at bats, you'd see more consistent contact.
Yeah, John
more
consistent won one. Hits. John hit that one. That's fine.
He's won that one. So, not liking to give John credit, we'll ignore this when he's. Well, I won't even be here, so
it's
it won't matter.
It's best to say it now.
Yeah, so it's good to say it now while he's not here. But he was right on this one. McCormick in the lineup consistently. We've seen that batting average improved. And, you know, the power, his ability to drive guys in is something Straw wasn't capable of. And so you have a more dangerous bat in the lineup, which just helps your postseason potential even more. When hopefully Bregman will get back and get enough at bat so he's ready for the postseason. You pray Correa certainly will be healthy. And then you have, other than Maldonado, and I don't know, hopefully we see less and less of Robel Garcia. Other than your catching position, you're pretty deep. And if I'm just singling out one guy as a black hole in your lineup, that means you have a really good lineup. And the Astros have really been one of the best offenses in baseball consistently.
Miles Straw was traded July 30th. In the month of August, since the trade, he's got 32 at-bats. Chas McCormick is hitting .344 and an .875 OPS. The fact is, he's a rookie who is going to get better anyway. It's naturally going to happen over the course of a season. At some point, he may run into a wall also late in the season. We hope not. And I don't know if there's less pressure, if there's more confidence, or if he's just feeling himself over the course of a rookie season right now. But over the last 2 weeks, going on 2 weeks since Miles Straw was traded, Chas McCormick has turned into a factor. And not just a guy who's going to bang out a home run here or there. We're talking about multi-hit games in five games in August. Mm-hmm. That's impressive. That's really impressive for any rookie over the first 12 days, over the first 11. I mean, it's the 12th right now. Over the first 11 days of August, he had five multi-hit games.
Think of your lineup when Bregman and Yuli get back. Altuve, Brantley. I'm just giving one order that possibly could be the case. Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Yordan, Yuli, Correa, Tucker, McCormick, and then Maldonado.
God, I mean, it's a potent lineup if McCormick is starting to hit his stride right now, especially if Bregman can come back and get into any type of form, which right now, in case you missed it, we'll update you here on the other side, but Alex Bregman is going to extend his rehab assignment. It's just he's 2 of 27, and he's not where he needs to be right now, so they're going to extend that. So, more of Aledmys Diaz, less of Alex Bregman on a major league level. But right now, the way Diaz is hitting, you'll take it. 9:58, time for me to tell you about Texas Custom Patios. My friend over there, Steven Schell, and I consider him a friend. I remember when I used to play basketball with him over at the YMCA. He used to come over and get in some runs back when we were young bucks. But he is doing such phenomenal work. And I tell people this all the time. I'm the one who ask him to start advertising on the radio because I wanted to be able to tell you guys about this great product. I was looking for a patio. I found Texas Custom Patios, and I couldn't be happier. They build amazing outdoor living spaces, outdoor kitchens. They can create patios that are fully functional for larger scale houses or for something smaller. Maybe you don't want it built onto your pre-existing home. Maybe you want a pool house. They do that for you as well. They even build sunrooms and extensions on homes and so much more. They are a full service outdoor entity. So they make the outside of your home look amazing. I'll give you an example. Go to my website. Well, it's the website tcplance.com and go look at Texas Custom Patios design and build out of what they did at my house. And I'm telling you right now, if you think they did something great for me, they'll do something even better for your house. Thousands of projects in the books, and they add value to homes, and they make your home a better place to live and enjoy yourself. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go check out the work they did for me at TCPLance.com.
ESPN 97.5. Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save